If nothing else, please rise and we begin singing our first hymn.
Sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the helper of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, bring an end to them.
O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Give ears to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life.
They do not set God before themselves.
For he has delivered me from every trouble.
And my God has looked in triumph on my enemies.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
Questions 19 and 20 from the Catechism. Why is the second use of the law so important? It shows that we have all sinned and cannot keep God's commandments. And so it makes known our need for the gospel of Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law. The law always accuses. Romans 3. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Romans 10. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Galatians 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. What is sin? Sin is humanity's fallen condition. We are turned away from God and are unable to look to Him for security, meaning, and righteousness. This inner sinner condition results in actual sins of thought, desire, word, or deed that are contrary to God's will, as summarized in the Ten Commandments. 1 John 3. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity is written in the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 26. With the merciful you shall show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you shall show yourself blameless. With the pure you shall show yourself pure. With the devious you shall show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run atop against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and sets me on high places. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. O Lord, our Lord,
how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You have set your glory
above the heavens.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Corinth, in the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 6. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also are lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, among whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 16th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. There is a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master has taken the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in my God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sin, and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, precious, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn printed in your bulletin. Thank you. do you serve? Based on, you cannot serve God and mammon. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus here is clearly teaching you the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You see, mammon is a false god. Mammon is often translated as money. But it really refers to any type of riches or property. Martin Luther says that mammon is riches or temporal goods anyone owns over and above what his needs require, and with which he cannot benefit others without injuring himself. Of course, what one's needs require is quite difficult to discern. I mean, a three-year-old are not the only ones who use the phrase, "I need," quite liberally. The more money that you have, generally speaking, the more needs you think you seem to have. But dear saints in Christ, money, property, riches, all mammon are false gods. There's only one God whom you should worship. The Father who created all things through his Son, who died for you, and the Holy Spirit who makes you holy through his word. Three distinct persons inseparably united in one Godhead. Apart from this Holy Trinity, there is no God. You make something your God when you fear, love, or trust in it most. This is why mammon is a false god. People fear, love, and trust in money and possessions more than the one true God, from whom come all good things. Your God is that which you fear losing the most. Your God is that which you serve. And far more people serve mammon than serve the one true God, who alone is deserving of your service and adoration. The first commandment is law. When Jesus teaches you the first commandment by telling you that you shall not serve, you cannot serve both God and mammon, he is confronting you with your own sin. And this is what the law does. The law is but a mirror bright to bring the inbred sin to light that lurks within our nature. Through the law comes knowledge of sin. You serve mammon. You work hard to get it. You guard it. You prize it. You fear losing it. You are much more concerned that you might lose some of your extra mammon than that others lack what they really need. Mammon is a false god that draws you away from the one true God and his word and keeps you from serving your neighbor in love. This is a sin. You see, the law confronts you with your own sins so that you repent. To repent means to turn from your sin. You must turn from serving mammon and serve the only true God. Still, how can this be done? How can you make God your only master? The temptation to serve other gods that you can feel, touch, and count on are way too much. They're way too appealing to this sinful nature. The truth is, you cannot make God your master. He makes himself your master, that is, your Lord. You learned this from the Catechism, that Jesus became your master by purchasing you from sin, death, and the power of the devil with his precious blood. In this innocent suffering and death, Jesus became your one and only master, your God and Lord, through faith when you believe that he has forgiven your sins and rescued you from the condemnation of the law. And even this faith he gives you as a gift through the Holy Spirit, who works in your hearts through the gospel. You cannot make God your one and only master by serving him, because you are way too sinful to do that, and you will fail. Rather, you serve God because he has made himself your master through Jesus Christ, whom you will receive through faith. Still, what should you do with all this memory? It still exists, doesn't it? You cannot just act like it doesn't exist. However, since Jesus Christ has become your only master through faith, you certainly can't serve it either. So what should you do with it? Mammon is a gift from God. It shows you that God not only provides you with what you need to support this body and life, but he supplies you with much more than you need. However, he does not supply you with these gifts in order to abandon him and to serve the gifts. Rather, since you are now God's servants and he is your master, everything you own becomes in service to him and his kingdom. You do not serve unrighteous mammon. Rather, unrighteous mammon serves you to the glory of God. So then Jesus tells this strange parable, and it is made all the stranger by the approval of this dishonest steward who stole from his master in order to be welcomed into the homes of his debtors. Nevertheless, the master does not commend the steward for his lying and cheating, but rather for his shrewdness, because he worked diligently to secure room and board for himself by means of mammon. 50 measures of oil here, 20 measures of wheat there. Jesus does not want Christians to emulate this shrewd steward in his dishonesty, but rather in his shrewdness and diligence. Make your mammon work for the kingdom of God as diligently as this man made his mammon work for himself. Jesus says, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Many falsely claim here that Jesus is teaching you to earn your way into heaven by giving to the poor and giving to the church. Yet, you have already learned that you cannot earn your way into heaven, but rather Jesus has purchased you from all sin, from death, and from hell, and has made himself your master. And you are his stewards and servants who live under him and in his kingdom power forever. You do not serve in order to get to heaven. Instead, you serve because you are already heirs of God's kingdom in heaven through faith in Jesus. Rather, here Jesus is teaching you here how to serve him even now on earth. You know, the chief use of the law is to show you your sin. This is its chief use, because it shows you your need for a Savior. The law condemns you from your sin in order that you see your need for Jesus' blood and forgiveness. Yet, since you are Christians, redeemed by Christ, and no longer under the threats of the law, you do not fear the condemnation of the law. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are forgiven for Christ's sake. Nevertheless, the law still has its use for Christians. Now, instead of condemning you, the law teaches you. Here Jesus teaches the law in order to teach Christians how to serve your master with the unrighteous wealth that he gives you. Mammon is called unrighteous because it can be used for evil purposes, That is why people steal. Mammon is a very disloyal god. It helps whoever owns or happens to be in its possession. I mean, stolen money will still buy a stolen car, just as easily as earned money will buy an earned car. And money can be used to satisfy sinners' most awful desires just as easily as it can be used to feed the hungry children and to build churches. But you can use mammon for good, and that is what God intends and calls you to do. Problem is, mammon always fails. But God calls you to use it to make friends you will have for eternity. You may ask, who are those friends? They are your fellow Christians who will receive the eternal dwelling with Christ on the basis of Christ's merits, on his suffering, death, and resurrection. Scripture teaches you to do good to everyone, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. You are going to live with them for eternity, so you should start getting along with them now, here on earth. The steward in Jesus' parable was not working with his own money. He was playing with his master's money. He used his master's money to his own advantage. Still, he had made his master look generous. News surely spread that his master forgives debts, is merciful, kind, and patient. You too do not work with your own property. You see, everything you own comes from God. And in reality, God owns all that you have. You are simply stewards, managers. The realization should result in two things: a great confidence in God and great generosity towards those who are in need. You should have great confidence in God because God has given you all that you have. And he promises not to let you starve or to be in need, and to provide for you with everything that you need for this body and life. You can be confident that you will not lose anything by using your unrighteous mammon to help those who are in need, because God will richly supply you and will make up for whatever you need. This should result in you being generous and eager to help. This truly is the fruit of faith, which shows that you have confidence in God. Generosity with unrighteous mammon glorifies God. Scripture says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Yet what is the result when the opposite happens? Then instead of God's love being hidden, God's love is revealed. All good gifts come from God. So when you help those in need, particularly those who are members with you in Christ, what is their response? Is it not thanksgiving to God with his ever-producing mercy? Yes, by your actions you can cause someone to praise God and have confidence that God does indeed provide daily bread. Your generosity also should extend to the church and her mission here to proclaim the gospel both at home and abroad. The Lord commands in Scripture that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel, that those who are taught should also share all good things with their teacher. Nevertheless, the Lord does not want you to give out of compulsion, but with a free heart. As Scripture says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This can only be done as a fruit of faith, by one who has confidence that God will supply him with every need, with every good thing. This is what your fathers, Abraham and Jacob, did. Melchizedek did not command Abraham to give him a tenth of all he had, nor did God command Jacob, yet they did it with a free heart, because they trusted in God's goodness and protection. Likewise, Moses had to command the people of Israel to stop bringing freewill offerings for the construction of the tabernacle, because they brought gifts according to their heart's desire every morning in such abundance that they had much more than they needed to build God's sanctuary. This is how God uses unrighteous mammon, which fails in all its endeavors to work that will last through eternity. Through free will gifts given by previous generations, you have established churches where you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, through which you are saved for eternity. And through free will offerings now, God helps friends in future generations, whom you may never know in this life, but they will be your friends in the eternal dwellings. Nevertheless, this generous spirit has an adversary, your old sinful flesh. And when you examine yourself, the law which should use as an example to live in the service of Christ again convicts you for having a less generous spirit than you ought to. The law tells you that you aren't good enough. You're not good enough servants in Christ's kingdom. That instead of putting your mammon to work for good, for God and for good, to serve in Him, the law accuses you and it causes you to doubt your place in God's kingdom. So, dear saints in Christ, this is why you must always remember how God becomes your one and only master. It is through faith in Jesus Christ, who has purchased and who has won you by His suffering and death. That is the only way you are placed into His kingdom. And it is the only way you will remain in His kingdom. And this faith will produce fruit. Christ will work in you. But this fruit only comes when your heart believes that you have a generous God who willingly forgives all your sins for Christ's sake and gladly provides you with all of your needs, both now and for eternity. May such faith in Christ produce faith from you, so that you may make friends now who will greet you when you enter your eternal home. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Take God.
Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. So do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God has given you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all of his works and all of his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do. By the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do. By the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work of our gracious Lord that has given this congregation with your prayers and gifts God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Everyone, please rise. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess the saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit they may continue steadfast in the one true faith and the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
So most of these people have been coming here longer than I have. Continue with the prayers of the church. Almighty God, you entrust your people the abundant wealth of Christ's salvation in your word and sacrament. Bless pastors that they may be faithful stewards of these mysteries, and grant that your people would make proper use of the means of grace and rejoice in your salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
In your mercy.
Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, help us always to be good and faithful stewards of all that you have so graciously provided. Especially grant that we would generously speak of the salvation you provide for all people through your Son. Lord, in your mercy. God of justice, deliver our common life from all cheating, swindling, and robbery. May integrity and uprightness preserve us, that each would seek not his own advantage, but the good of others. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, you save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. Give true wisdom to the people of our nation, and humility to those who act and decide for our governance. And let the lamp of your perfect word in the way enlighten their faith and deeds. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Faithful God, you preserve those who are suffering temptation in any affliction, especially Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve,
Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tim, Tony, the Langton family, Baby Belinda, and the Leslie family. Make clear to them the way of escape, that they may be able to endure it and stand firm through faith in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Michelle, Daniel, and Jeff, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, give true repentance and faith to those who commune this day, that they may eat Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins, and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have forgiven our debt of sin for the sake of Jesus. Preserve us in his grace and life, that until the day when we gather us together with your saints in glory around your throne, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We forgot to do, we give thee but thy own.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Given to death for your son. Take the true body of Christ. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, keep your baptismal grace. Take the true body of Christ. Given to death for your son. Take the true body of Christ. Take the true body of Christ. Given to death for your son.
The true body of Christ.
Given to death for your sins. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me baptismal grace. Take, eat, true body of Christ. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Take, drink. Thank you. take, drink, true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you in baptismal grace.
Holy Son.
Take peace, the true body of Christ. Given to death for your sin.
Thank you.
rise as we continue with the Nunc Dimittis. Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Thank you.
We have cake in honor of the new members, so be sure that you stay and have some cake. And since we're going to have something to eat, let us pray.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts